The tobacco industry has taken a lot of criticism and had its knuckles wrapped for selling a product whose overuse can kill people. Public health efforts down through the years have largely taken cigarettes out of the hands of adolescents, but the industry has found another way to provide them with nicotine, vaping. There's increasing evidence that e-cigarettes are least as dangerous as cigarettes and even bring health risks of their own. Dr. Robert N. Proctor is a history of science professor at Stanford University who's made a study of the ways tobacco is pushed on young people. He's in town to speak at the Coalition for Tobacco-Free Hawaii's annual stakeholder meeting, and he's with us in our studio. Good morning, Doctor.
Good morning. Happy to be here.
You know, if you just arrived from Mars and I said, here on Earth we've got this product where, you know, we know it kills people, we know it's addictive, and it generates, what, how many billion dollars a year?
Oh, yeah, it's hundreds of billions of dollars a year globally. We've now got 6 trillion cigarettes smoked every year, and that happens to be 350 million miles of cigarettes, which is enough to go around the Earth in a continuous chain 13,000 times. So the numbers are astronomical.
And I, as a recent arrival from Mars, not familiar with the ways of Earthlings, would find that pretty surprising. How did this happen?
Well, there's three main causes: mass production,
right,
mass marketing, and mass deception. Mm-hmm. Already in the 1880s, we had the first automatic cigarette rolling machines that could run 100,000 cigarettes per day.
Mm-hmm.
Now we've got machines that can run millions per day. And if everyone were making cigarettes the way they did 100 years ago, it would require a labor force of 3 million people just in the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
Mass marketing, then, the tobacco industry invents most of our mass marketing, product placement, paying Hollywood actors to smoke, skywriting with airplanes,
yeah,
and giant letters, Lucky Strike means fine tobacco.
Mm-hmm.
And then most importantly, in the 1950s, the Grand Conspiracy, the agreement made at the Plaza Hotel on December 14th, 1953, to deny all harm from cigarettes. And that resulted in the deadliest penetration of the academy, of our scientific community, in the history of the world.
And that was the tobacco companies agreed to, let's keep a lid on this, they're starting to come after us?
That's right. That's when they begin their strategy, doubt is our product. We make cigarettes, but most of all we make ignorance. We need more research. The facts are not all in. Cancer is complex disease.
No proven link.
There's no proof. We, you know, relax and have a smoke.
That lasted, what, 40 years?
Over 40 years, and elements of it are still in place.
Mm-hmm.
No cigarette manufacturer in the world has admitted that nicotine is addictive as heroin and cocaine. They've never admitted lying to the public. They've never admitted that filters are no safer, or lights are no safer, or low tars are no safer.
Mm-hmm.
They've never admitted that advertising causes people to smoke. So what I call the formal conspiracy was forcibly disbanded in 1999 with the Master Settlement Agreement, but most of the failures to admit are still alive today.
What about the perception that the Master Settlement Agreement, you know, solved the problem, that they were duly chastised, paid a heavy fine, and now they're selling it only to people who, you know, have made an adult choice to smoke, leave me alone, I just happen to enjoy my cigarette after dinner. Right.
Right. That's probably our biggest mythology, that this whole epidemic is something from the distant past,
mm-hmm,
when in fact there's still 1,400 Hawaiians who die every year from cigarettes. It's the leading cause of death in Hawaii, the leading cause of death in the United States, and the leading cause of death globally. And the idea that they paid all this money, that's true, but that $300 billion settlement effectively was about a 40-cent tax per pack on cigarettes. The companies just turned around and raised the price of cigarettes 45 cents, so they actually profited from it. And not only that, but in the Master Settlement Agreement, there's something called the Villainy Clause, which is you can't say that the tobacco industry is a villain. You can't, in any of these truth campaigns and so forth, you can't villainize the industry.
And that's what happens when you win a lawsuit. You agree not to criticize your antagonist any further,
it
right?
It can be that. It's up to the lawsuit.
But a fairly frequent provision.
Lawsuits are often secret. This one is not a secret
right.
settlement. But most importantly, maybe the cigarette companies only have to pay if their profits go below a, or remain above a certain level. If they drop below a certain level, they don't have to pay this huge settlement. So it's really a kind of a guaranteed profit program.
How is that not a kind of subsidy almost?
It is. Well, we have a long history of subsidizing tobacco, and elements of that still continue.
Well, okay, so it has now sunk into me. I'm a smoker, and I now know that sucking hot smoke into my lungs isn't the best idea. So now I've discovered this wonderful new way to get my fix, e-cigarettes, you know.
Right.
Have I, you know, have I solved my medical issues? Am I no longer at risk?
Well, it's certainly better in the sense that nothing could be probably worse than sucking ordinary tobacco smoke into your lung. That's cigarettes have 600 different additives historically, ranging from castoreum, which is a anal secretion from the Siberian beaver, all the way up to, you know, hormones of various sorts and pheromones and humectants. And
to what end? I mean, it started with Sir Walter Raleigh just taking a tobacco leaf and crushing it up, right?
Exactly. Well, by the 19th century, you're adding sugars to make it inhalable, milder. That's why the cigarette is not inherently deadly. It's dangerous by design because it's all the chemicals they add that allow it to be inhaled deep into the lungs, and that's what causes most of the harm. Now, what's happened more recently is they've, since the 1950s, they really separated out the what they call the unattractive side effects, which are the heart disease, the emphysema, the lung cancer.
Those are unattractive side
effects. Yeah, that's what they call them. And from what that which they really want, which is the addiction. Mm-hmm. So in a way, what they've designed are these perfect engines of addiction. They call them electronic cigarettes, vaping devices. And they're not supposed to produce those unattractive side effects, but no one really knows if they will. Mm-hmm. Do that because they do have all kinds of weird stuff, and some of the flavorants themselves could be harmful, things like diacetyl, which is popcorn, which is a known cause of popcorn lung, which is a form of emphysema. There's heavy metals, there's humectants, there's all kinds of other things. So it is, though, their dream. This is their dream to have moved from a tobacco industry to a cigarette industry to selling smoke, to selling pure addiction. And that's what they're hoping with this new rage of the electronic cigarette is addiction in its purest form in the nicotine. And that's where they're going.
But young people have been drilled with the dangers of tobacco. Why would they embrace this? I mean, isn't it fairly obviously dangerous?
Well, nothing is obvious in this world, especially when it comes to tobacco. There's probably very few of our listeners who know that cigarettes are the leading cause of amputations. If you see a vet on the street with no legs, it's a much greater chance that they will have lost their legs from cigarettes, which cause vascular degeneration, loss of limbs. That's why the skin temperature of a smoker is several degrees cooler than that of a non-smoker. It's also why the cigarette industry used to advertise cigarettes as a natural form of air conditioning. You could sort of keep cool by having those blood vessels restricted. They don't know about the castoreum. They don't know that there's 8 million pounds of ammonia added to cigarettes. They don't know that it's a leading cause of blindness, the leading cause of fire death, a leading cause of impotence. You know, no one in the history of the world has ever smoked to look younger. And kids start off smoking. They like the danger. It's an attraction. It's forbidden fruit.
Yep. Yep.
And so every time we say kids don't smoke, you might as well say, please smoke, because it's that forbidden nature. You know, the cigarette industry itself knows it's not for kids, just like sex, riding a motorcycle, drinking alcohol. Those are all non-kid things, right?
Well, let me take you back to history pre that meeting in the 50s you talked about. And I'm talking about, you know, Betty Davis with the cigarette, with the backlit smoke. And I'm
exactly
talking about troops overseas on both fronts of warfare in the Second World War being given all the cigarettes they could handle, right?
Oh, that's exactly right. Cigarettes are first given in World War I as part of rations. Mm-hmm. But even then, only 5 billion cigarettes were smoked by our troops in World War I versus 100 billion per year in World War II. The philosophy of smoke them if you got them. You know, you got a smoke break or you got no break. And so by the end of the war, the American military was requisitioning a third of all cigarettes just for our troops. And so that's why military men have been much more likely to become addicted and die from cigarettes, because they were pushed. They were tax-free, and they came with your rations in World War II.
And that's when we became a nation of smokers.
Exactly. That's exactly right. And it's why the military has suffered so much. Even Caspar Weinberger under Reagan tried to make, through Directive 1010, a smoke-free military, but Big Tobacco got laws passed in Congress requiring all ships to sell cigarettes and to allow smoking on all ships. And that's why U.S. naval submarines were not smoke-free until about 2 years ago. That's how much power the industry has had over our military.
It's not likely in the near term for that power to decline, I'm guessing.
Well, not so long as Philip Morris International is a $170 billion company. Remember, this is the best investment in the history of the world. $1 invested in tobacco stocks in 1900 is worth $12 million today. It's the most profitable enterprise in the history of capitalism, and more so than automobiles, electronics, chemicals, anything. These companies are still doing very well because the profit margins are so high, and I think that's going to continue for a while.
Well, what hope is there? How does one, you're part of an effort to push back against this, and what's one to do?
A lot, and Hawaii is one of the world's leaders here. Hawaii was the first state to introduce a minimum 21 law just mm-hmm. last year. We had here in Hawaii a ban on smoking in cars. One thing that needs to be done is the cigarettes need to be taxed more heavily. Hawaii is number 5 in the state taxes for cigarettes. New York, I think, is number 1. And cigarettes are taxed only 3 1/4 per pack. That should be $5 minimum. You shouldn't be able to buy cigarettes or electronic cigarettes within 1,000 feet of a school. We've still got that. So there's a lot of things that can be done. My own view is that global warming is so intertwined with tobacco that we're going to have to eventually ban the sale of cigarettes. And the reason I say that, and I say it, without shame, is that most smokers don't like the fact they smoke. Most smokers wish they didn't smoke. It's not a recreational drug like marijuana or alcohol. It's much more like heroin in that sense. It's really more a form of slavery than it is an expression of freedom.
Because they're slaves, junkies don't care what something costs. Raising the price, so what?
No, that's true. That's one reason that I think we need to look much more at actually curtailing opportunity. It's why smoke-free clean air laws have been so important. Vending machines are no longer legal in most states. It's the access that makes it so convenient, and that's where you have to stop.
Well, I hate to have to stop there, but that tells people a lot that they didn't know. Command of a lot of information that I think is really...
Hopefully. It's really the tip of an iceberg.
Yeah. Thanks very much for coming in.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Dr. Robert Proctor will speak about Big Tobacco's continued use of inaccurate or misleading scientific data to create cultural doubt around the health consequences of its products. That's at the Coalition for a Tobacco-Free Hawaii's annual stakeholder meeting tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. at the Alohilani Resort in Waikiki. You can get details on our Hawaii Conversation Facebook page.